Parsha begins Vayu Chaye Sara Meo Shono Vyasim Shono Visheva Shonim Shnei Chaye Sara. They were discussing the life of Sara, the end of the life of Sara. She lived 100 years, 20 years, 7 years, Shnei Chaye Sara. The Pasuk repeats at the end again, these are the years of Sara. Why does the Pasuk repeat again? It starts with Vayu Chaye Sara. These are the years of Sarah. And then it again says, Shnei Chaye Sarah. These are the years of Sarah. Rashi says, Shnei Chaye Sarah, Kulon Shavin Latoiva. All of Sarah's years were equally good. That's what Rashi says. That's why the Pasuk stresses, Shnei Chaye Sarah. Bereishis Rabba says in Parshas Chaye Sarah, that Rabbi Akiva was in the middle of giving a shir. And he saw that his Talmidim were dozing off a little bit. They weren't really listening. I'm saying this story now so everyone's still up and awake and no one's dozing yet, I hope, anyways. And to get them to awaken them, he said that the reason why Esther Hamalka became the queen over 127 provinces was because in the schus of Sari Menu, who lived 127 years. That's what the Medrash says. Chasam Sofer asks, what is the meaning of this Medrash? Why, what, in what schus did Esther get 127 from Chaye Sara, from Sara's life? Sara lived 127 years. She was a tzaddikus. But when she was born, was she an Oved Hashem? Did she serve Hashem? When she was 2 years old. Sara Imenu, maybe it wasn't even till later in life. We don't know necessarily Avram, it's Machlokes, when he became to the recognition of the Bari Olam. Sarah Imenu perhaps didn't come to the recognition of the Bari Olam even later in life. So why did Esther get 127 provinces for the 127 years of Sarah, who was Tzadekis, when presumably she wasn't Tzadekis all of her life? Some Sefer says, it says in the Medrash, Avram gave a hesped on Sarah. He said over Mishlei of the famous capital called Eishes Chayil Miyimtza. And there's a pasuk in that in Mishlei that says, Vatokom bi oid laila, Vatitin teref levesa v'choyku nareisao. It was still in the night, and she gave food to her household and worked to her maids. Chasam Sofer explains, this is going on Sari Menu. When you say Eishes Chayil, this part he says is clearly going on Sari Menu. When she used to stay up late at night to make food and prepare for the Orchim. We all know that Avraham Avinu, of course with Sari Menu, were the ultimate Hachnasas Orchim. They were the ones that were Makarev many, many people. The Medrash tells us that people came to Avram. Avram fed them. He gave them eshel. He gave them achila. He gave them food. He gave them shtia. He gave them drink. He gave them lina, a place to stay. He was a full service hotel with a continental breakfast plus. And when they were ready to go, they came to him and he asked, "What is it that how much do I owe you?" Avram gave them this really long bill, itemized bill with tons of stuff on it, and everything that they got advantage of, and everything that they had eaten and drink and everything else. And he says, they said, "Whoa, that's a big bill." And Avram says, I'll throw the whole bill out. We'll rip it up right here on one condition. The condition is that you thank God for everything. Everything comes from God. Apparently from the Medrash, everyone thanked God. Nobody wanted to pay the bill. So we see the tremendous Hachnasas Erechim. So Sari Imenu, he says, was doing it late at night. What is the point that she did it late at night? Chasam Sofer says the point that she did it late at night was that she was trying to make up for lost time. Before she was doing things properly, when she was a baby, when she was a little kid, whenever she came to the recognition of the Bari Olam, she wasn't on a high madrega yet. She was always growing and always trying to get to that high madrega. When did she make it up? At a time when people are generally sleeping. People are sleeping, it's a time for sleep. And therefore she took that time and utilized it for good, to be an Oved Hashem, and therefore she gets it get taken and put into the years that she was not We don't want to say about Sarah Meir that she was never an Eved Hashem, but like we said, you know, when she was a baby, she wasn't. That doesn't mean that it's over yet, right?
I don't think so.
Perhaps we can also, with this shot that the Chassam Sefer explained, is a famous, it's brought down that Bittul Torah, if someone is Mevatel Torah, he has a Seder and he misses, he has to make it up. How could you make up Torah? You're supposed to be learning every minute that you have. When you're eating, you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to drink, you're allowed to sleep, you have responsibilities, you have children, you have a wife, you have whatever it is you have, even if you're not married, everyone has responsibilities they have to take care of. So what is it that, you know, if you have a moment to learn, you're supposed to be learning. So how could you make up the time? So according to the Chassam Sefer, the time that technically you could be sleeping, you push yourself, sleeping, I need 8 hours of sleep, but you take 10 minutes of that time and you learn instead, so you're able to be mashlim, you're able to make up a little bit of that time. Perhaps we can explain a different teretz to this kasha with a Meram Shik. The Meram Shik says in Parshas Torlois, he says that, one second, Rivki Menu had something in her stomach. We all know that it was twins, it was Yaakov and Esav. She went to inquire what's going on. What was she inquiring? So everyone knows that when she walked by a Beis HaMedrash, she felt pushing, someone wanted to get out. When she walked by a Avodah Zarah, she felt someone else pushing to get out. So she wanted to know what's going on. Ram Shik says that Rivka thought that she had one baby in her stomach. She had one baby. So the question is why is a baby sometimes going to the Beis HaMedrash and sometimes going to Avodah Zarah? She wasn't worried to the extent that the baby wanted to go to Avodah Zarah. She wanted to know, Vatelech Lidrash Hashem, is what is going to be his outcome? What is he going to end up? What's going to be his ultimate? Is he going to be going to the Beis Medrash and learning? Or is he going to end up as Avodah Zarah? That's what the Meram Shik says. Now what's the difference? Makes a difference what you end off with? The Gemara in Kedushin says, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, if someone is nischared al mitzvah, if someone does mitzvahs his entire life, someone is 100 years old, he does mitzvahs and Torah, and he's a godel hador his whole life, and at the end of his life he has charat and says, you know what, forget the whole thing, I shouldn't have done it, I wasted my time, I should have played sports, I should have gone skiing, I should have gone, it was amazing, I recently met a guy, he's an Italian guy, he must have been about 50 years old, and he mentioned that about 8 years ago, I think he said it was 8 years ago, he had a brain tumor and he was deathly ill. And he tells me, he looks at me and I didn't look at him funny, although I was thinking it. He says, I had such regrets. You're thinking maybe he didn't spend enough time with his kids, you know, he's a guy. I had such regrets that I didn't go skiing enough. I should have gone skiing more. And I made myself a deal right then and there that if I'm going to live longer, I'm going to ski much more every year. And since then, every year, I ski my age. I said, if he's 45 years old, he's going to go skiing 45 times that year. It's amazing. This is what he's regretting. But if someone has chayrata on his whole life that he shouldn't have done the mitzvahs, then it's he loses all of his mitzvahs. And vice versa. We know that a person in the last second of his life, he has charat and all his averis, and he does tshuva, he can get Olam Haba. Why is that? Why is it that someone who spent 80 years, 100 years of his life doing mitzvahs and one day doing averis, and vice versa, it doesn't seem to make sense? So we have perhaps two explanations. The Kedusha Slavi has a question. It says that if someone does tshuva me'ahava, he has this tshuva me'ahava, it turns his averis into mitzvahs. If you do it me'yira, if you do an averis, if you do tshuva me'yira, you do it out of fear of the Rebbeinu Shlom, it turns your averis into shkavis, but if you do tshuva me'ahava, it turns it into mitzvahs. Why is that? How does this phenomenon work that you did tshuva, you regret what you did, and it turns it into mitzvahs? So Kedusha Slavi explains. What's the difference between tshuva meyir and tshuva meyahav? Tshuva meyir means someone does tshuva, he's scared. He's scared, he realizes that God runs the world. Maybe now after Hurricane Sandy, everyone knows that. Scary part is maybe not, but God runs the world. It doesn't matter who you are, how great you think you are, God runs the world. And he can punish you. And if you're going to do something wrong, you're going to get punished. There's an oil ma'amas. A person does tshuva meyir because he's scared. I don't want to get punished. I don't want to feel the wrath of the Rebbein Yishleilam. So he does tshuva. What does he do with his averis that he did his whole life? What do you want to do when you're scared of something? You're about to get sorry. You take the averis and you want to sweep it under the rug and cover it up. Let's forget about that. Let's hide it. Let's keep it on the side. Let's forget about it. Let's not look at it. What is tshuva meyahava? Tshuva meyahava means is that a person, he loves the person. He loves the Baruch Shalom. He wants to get back in the Baruch Shalom's good graces. How do you do that? He takes out all of his averis. He looks at it. He says, how can I be better? I did this averis. I did that avera. How can I be better? How can I make it that I shouldn't do it again? I shouldn't fall into the same trap. If that's the case, then he's utilizing his averis to become a greater person. So therefore, those averis which originally were averis now become mitzvahs because it gets schar if you use that as a building block to raise his level. So according to the Kedusha Levi, that's the pshat and why a person in 80 years of his life he does mitzvahs. And then he says he has charot and everything. He does averis. So we see that his whole life, with all his mitzvahs that he did, was just built on so he can do an avera. I wanted to be able to come to that. That's it. Forget it. It's all irrelevant. This is what it is. This is what I wanted to accomplish in life. So if that's what you want to accomplish in life, then you're not going to negate everything before. And vice versa. If someone does averis, but he does at the end of his life, he says, I want to now change, I want to be good, I want to do tshuva meyahava. We say, you know what? All those averis, everything was a building block for you to get here. And you accomplish your ultimate goal. Of course, no one knows the day that they're going to die, and therefore, no one should wait and say, oh, listen, my ultimate goal is to be a big tzaddik. I wait until the day I die, and then I'll get everything. And certainly, one should not do that, because no one knows the day of when he's going to die. Every day a person has to look at it, that today might be his last. That's one understanding. Everyone, there's a famous example of this world versus next world. This world is nothing more than an antechamber to the next world. In other words, there's a big palace in front of you. Big palace. And right when you come into the palace, there's a room that you're prepared to go into the palace. You get ready to go into the palace. So picture a guy comes in, and he gets in, he has his bags, he has his suit, he has his tie, he has his shoes, everything he's got. And he sits there and he starts to slowly put on his clothes, make himself look nice, looks in the mirror, makes sure he looks presentable. And in the last minute he takes, he rips his suit, he takes some black smudge and smudges his face on, and then he walks into the melech. So the fact that he was busy and preparing and getting himself ready with a nice suit and a nice tie, but if at the end he smudged his face, at the end of the day you're walking into the king looking like not a nice person, not a good person. And vice versa, the person who in the beginning he's not looking good, but he builds himself up, he puts on stuff nicely after, that person, at the end of the day, he's walking into the Melech Malchei Hamelachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, looking presentable, is presentable, and that's the way the Baruch Hashem sees him. That's because that this world is only a preparation for the next world. Perhaps that is why we say that Sarah's life was complete. And that is what Rabbi Akiva was telling them. The 127 years that Esther got from Sarai Menu, they were all complete. Sarai Imenu was constantly working on building blocks. Her whole life was a work in process, always trying to get to the next level, always trying to do Avodas Hashem. And therefore, it's credited as every single day, Hakol Shavon Taiva, each and every year of her life was considered important and equally good. Not the last day was the best, but rather they were all equally good. She created all of them to be on this magnificent level. There's a known song, it's attributed to the Ibn Ezra, the words. And it's cool, we said, Adam doyeg li'ibudamav, ve'ene doyeg li'ibudamav. A person worries about his money, but does not worry about his days. Damav einem oizin, yomav einem chayzin. Money will not help you in the world to come, and the days are not going to come back. We have a finite days in this. Everyone has a finite amount of days in this world, and everyone, like Sari Menu, the lesson over here is try to utilize it to the best of our ability and to take advantage of every single day. A little further in the parsha, a couple of psukim says that Avraham Avinu. Actually, next pasuk. Atama Sari Kiyas Abihi Cheren Beretz Kanaan Vayova Yavram Lispoid Lasara Velefkaisa. He came to give a hesped and to cry. Rashi says, Lispoid Lasara Velefkaisa. Nismacha Misa Sara Lakedas Yitzchak. The reason why the end of Parshas Vayera ends with Lakedas Yitzchak and the beginning of Parshas Chayesara is Misa Sara. What's the connection? Because Sarah heard the news that the Akedah was occurring, or occurred, it seems like occurring, different ways to learn this. Rashi, that she not see, she thought that he was about to get shechted and didn't know that he wasn't going to get shechted, or she actually saw that he didn't get shechted, but at the end of the day, the fact that Yitzchak was going to be a carbon, parcha nishmasa, she died. That's what Rashi says. The question is it Sari Menu was on a very high madrega, as we just discussed. Perhaps greater than Avram. I'm not going to say, but it says that Sari Menu had nevuah when versus Avram. Perhaps. So what if Sari Menu would hear that Avram Avinu was told to go shecht Yitzchak? Would she question it? Avram did it. She wouldn't have. She would have said, "No, I'm not doing it." And the fact that she heard that about Akedas Yitzchak, she died. Something's missing over here. What does that mean? Gemara Ma'ikatan and Daf Chav Zayin says, "Shloshi Yamim LeBechi." There's 3 days of crying. Zayin LaHesped. He says that Bechi comes before Hesped. Rabbi Yaakov Orenstein explains the difference between Bechi and Hesped. When a person like Leino dies, there's 2 types of mourning that happen. A person mourns over the people who are still alive, an individual or his family, or the Gadol Hadar, on what now in this world we're missing. A person could say, I don't have this person anymore. It's a hole in their sorrow, their mourning. And then there's a different type of mourning. The person who died, who is Nifter, can no longer grow. As long as a person is on this world, a person can go up the ladder in Ruchnis. Once a person dies, there's no other way to go up. There actually is one other way. A person himself can't go up. The people in this world, that's where we have things done. A child specifically can be in Aliyah, bring his parent up higher. But the person himself can't. As an aside, that's why there's something, we have something that is called a Sudas Havara. After the person has died and after they bury the person, the people come back to the house and the food that they're given, they're not allowed to make their own Suda, but other people have to give them the Suda. And the simple explanation for that is because we want the family to realize the same way the mace is no longer independent and can raise himself on his own, we're giving you food, you're not independent. And the point is that the family should realize that we should stop doing things and we should try to do things as a zeich and ishmas for the person who is nifter. The same way you're not independent, now in this meal, you should realize that the nifter, or nifteres, is not independent and they need you. They need your schus. That's why there's a suz havar. So there's bechi, which is on the loss of the person, that the person is alive when he mourns, is on himself. And then there's the hesped, which is on the fact that the mace is no longer alive, and it can't grow. So Avram, who is a very great person, he was first saying is Avram lispoit lisarav lefkoisa. First, he mourned over the fact that she can't grow anymore. As great as she was, Sarimenu, she can't grow anymore. Normally, it would be normally the bechi. The Gemara is talking about the normal person who first cries over his own loss and then cries for the nifter. Avram Avinu was on a great madrega and he cried first for the nifteres Sarimenu, and then he cried for himself. Perhaps we can give another answer to this. By the Akeda, the Bnei Shalom tells Avram Avinu, "Kach no es bincha es yichitcha. Please take." It says in the Joshua Saran that the Akeda was not mandatory. It was not, the Bnei Shalom didn't say, "Avram, I command you to do Akeda Yitzchak. Take Yitzchak and Shechtem." That's not what it was. Please take him. The Ran says that if Avram Avinu would have said, "But Rabbeinu Shalom, he told me that, you know, Yitzchak is going to be, you know, my progeny, is that this is where all the generations are going to come from," Rabbeinu Shalom said, "Okay, then don't do it." It was a bakasha. It was nothing more than a bakasha. Rabbeinu Yoina says that the 10th Nisayin was actually in the beginning of this week's parasha of the Misa of Sarah and the burial of Sarah. As we just explained in the last Vatera from the Gemara in Kedushin, that if a person has charata on something that he did that's good, he loses the schar. The Satan wasn't giving up here. Avraham Avinu went to Akedas Yitzchak. He won the Satan. He accomplished. He was ready to shech Yitzchak. The Malach said no. The whole story. He came back. He won. He passed the test. Satan says is, he passed that test, but I'm still going to get him to fail that test. He says is that I'm going to tell Sarah a besura at Teva. The Mefarshim explained that the besura that she heard was from the Satan. Then I'm going to tell him that Sarah died. Why did she die? Because you did that, Akedah. Now, he wasn't even commanded, according to the Ran, he wasn't commanded to do it. If he was commanded to do it, so maybe he would say, "Listen, maybe I'm somewhat, it's my fault on some level, but at the end of the day, God commanded me." But God didn't command me. And Rabbeinu Shalom said, "Bakasha, do you want to do it?" So the Sultan wanted Avraham Avinu to have charata and sit there and think, "I really shouldn't have done it. It was a big mistake. I shouldn't have gone through with it. Look what I caused. I caused Sarimena to die, and therefore would have nullified the Nisayon of Akedas Yitzchak." And that was the greatness. That's what the Sultan was trying to accomplish. And Avraham Avinu wasn't going to fall for it. And that's why the Pasuk says, "Vayovay Avraham, lispoid lisara v'lefkoisa." First he gave a hesped, he mourned over Sarah. You know why? If it would have been that he would have felt guilty that she died, he would have been lefkoisa. He would have been more hurt, he would have been worried about himself. He would have been crying that how could I have done that, and he would have been mourning over himself. And then he would have cried over her that she can't grow anymore. But it was the exact opposite. First he cried for Sarimenu because the bottom line is she's no longer in this world and she can't grow anymore. And then he cried over himself. And not only that, the Lefkoisa has a small chaf. It's a chaf is the ear, a small chaf, to show that even that wasn't on such a level of Bechia. He cried, but it wasn't on such a great level. It was a small crying. He had to do it, that's what he had. He's supposed to do it, he had a loss, but a very small level.
So the Sultan still kept on going because Ephraim ripped him off, burying the Sultan.
I mean, he wasn't giving up. Sultan never gives up. Till the day a person dies, the Sultan never gives up. And Satan's there, every day the Sultan is a different Sultan. Whatever Sultan that you beat yesterday, if you're able to beat him yesterday, is a different one tomorrow. It's never the same one. So don't think that you got him figured out and I know how to, you know, conquer him. Never works. He's always there to get you. He's always trying to get you. It says in the Pasuk, "Vayiviyah Yitzchok Oyela, Sari Imoy, Vayikach Esrifka Vatilay Lishe Vayaveha, Vayinochem Yitzchok Acher Imoy." Zok Rashi, Avram Yitzchok sees Sari. I'm sorry. Yitzchok sees Rivka. The three things that were always constant when Sari Mena was alive in the tent of Sarah occurred when Rivka, and that was Hoyla Sarva Yovel. Sorry, Imai, here we go. Kashakal's man, Shesarah Kayemes, Hayinir Doluk, Me'er Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. As long as Sarah was alive, the lights, the candles were lit from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. U'bracha Metsuya Be'isa, and there was bracha found in the dough. V'anan Kasha al oil, and there was a cloud around the oil. So he saw that Rivka was the one because all these three things returned. What is the understanding of the candles were lit from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos? Who cares? We understand bracha and the Easter. We understand it says the Sifsei Chaim says that the cloud was referring to the Tiras HaMishpacha of Kedusha. The woman is more in charge of the Tiras HaMishpacha. She knows what's going on with that. But what does it mean Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos? The Sifsei Chaim said that these three things are the three mitzvahs which apply specifically to Noshim, which is lighting the candles on Shabbos for Friday night for Shabbos, and they generally make the mitzvah of challah, and again the Tiras HaMishpacha. The Rosh says, the Rosh and Bracha says that why is it that a person when he learns Tayra he only makes one Birchas HaTayra in the morning? You say it once, you wake up in the morning, you say Birchas HaTayra, and that's it. Why don't we say Birchas HaTayra every time before you want to learn, like every other thing that you do before? The Rosh said the person is never Mesiach Das. You start learning, you wake up in the morning, and your whole mind is on learning the entire day. The Levush says, why do we make two brachas atayr? Ever wonder why? Brachas atayr is two brachas. We say, last of it is a and then we say, Asher bracha, baram yikalamim. Why are we making two brachas? On what mitzvah do we make two brachas on? The Levush says, major chiddush. He says that the first bracha is a bracha achreina. It's a bracha achreina from the night before. The day before a person woke up, he made a Asher Bracha Bon Mikol Am Nasan Asher Yosai. That is the Bracha Rishena. He learned the whole day, and even if he didn't learn the whole day, but it was on his mind the whole day. And then when he goes to sleep, he's sitting there with a sefer by his bed, and he falls asleep while he's in the middle of learning. When you wake up, so you still didn't make a Bracha Achreina, and you're learning from the day before, so you make a Bracha Achreina. That's what the Levush says. So the first Bracha is a Bracha Achreina from the day before, and the second Bracha is a Bracha Rishena on that day's learning. So what do we see? That the whole day, the point is that you're supposed to be Asik in learning. The Kolboy says, why is it that on Matzah Shabbos we make a Birchas and make a Bari Mari Eish? We should make a Bari Mari Eish every time you use fire. You use fire for lights, you use fire for an oven, for cooking. Why don't we make it's a Birchas Anenim, you're having Hanah. If you can eat a piece of cake, you make a Birchas. You should make another Birchas every time you light a fire. He says this because we're constant use of fire. The whole day, we're busy with lights, we're busy with cooking, one way or another, heat, one way or another, we're generally having some sort of hanah from the fire, and therefore you don't have to make a bracha every time. At night when you're sleeping, there's heat in the house, and if not, there's always some sort of, not always, but generally, that's it. Shabbos, you're not allowed to make a new fire. And that's us, it's us, and I tell you. So therefore, Matzah Shabbos, you have to make your brachas and nana for the whole week. So perhaps that is the pshat in Sarei Menu, that in the Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, that she was a constant light, it was always lit up, was that she took the Kedusha. There was something that's called constant. You always have to think about Torah. You always have to be doing Avodas Hashem. Even when a person is doing mundane things, we have to do mundane things, we have responsibilities, but nonetheless, you always have that constant of the Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. I'm always thinking about what my avodas Hashem is, what the Baruch Shalom wants me. Have a good Shabbos.